Hello, everybody. We'll start our program in about 1 minute.
This is going to be the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
It's going to be lit.
I got so much love for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata.
You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
Bickley and Murata.
This is the greatest show.
Feel it right now.
The greatest thing ever.
It is.
Dan Bickley.
The greatest ever.
Vince Murata.
You can't get excited about this. You might not be able to be excited.
Bickley and Murata.
Greatest of all time. Legendary.
So that's is awesome. This show.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
That's right.
Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
A tremendous Tuesday to all you Valley sports fans. Bask in the glow of Vinny cringing at our open once again.
Nope. Didn't hear any of it.
Yeah. No, you did hear it. How could you avoid it?
I turned the volume down in my headphones.
Oh, that's what this thing does right there. Oh, that's perfect.
See?
Wow. Like,
I can't hear you now.
Make you go away. Look at that. I like that.
And these headphones are heavy duty here.
Yeah, they are.
At the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center.
We are on the road again today. We are live at the Cardinals Training Facility. We've got a great show on tap today. We're going to have Monty Williams saying hello to Phoenix. We're going to have DJ Humphreys coming back for an encore visit with us. We're going to have Jordan Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Visiting with us.
Yeah, not only will we have the Monty Williams press conference, but the new head coach of the Suns will join us right after that for his first radio interview in Phoenix.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That is really, really cool, right?
It's going to be a good show.
I mean,
it has the makings of a good show. Now we have to perform.
I just encountered my new favorite word. Do you know what a rando is?
Yeah.
You do?
This one's new to you.
Did I ask you to make fun of me? Because that escaped my purview?
That's your new favorite word?
Well, it's one of them.
Mid-2000s Celtics point guard? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, close.
Rajon Rando?
No, Orando. Orando.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had never seen it contextually anywhere before. Why do you find that so funny? Is it that out there?
It's pretty pervasive.
Is it really?
I think so. I've heard it a ton.
Have you?
I try not to use it.
Jarrett?
Yes.
Jarrett's definitely a rando. Well, no, he's not actually. The definition of this word is a person you don't know, but somebody who's kind of odd, right?
It pops up a lot on social media.
Okay.
Like some rando dude on Twitter with an egg avatar.
Got it. Okay,
yeah.
I spend less time on Twitter than you do. I think that's probably the answer here.
That's a good
thing.
Because
that's where I saw it, yeah.
That's good for you.
I pick my spots, Vinny. I pick my spots. So I saw it in context to a Steve Kerr thread, who we will get into today, who is the first head coach in NBA history to go to five NBA finals in his first five seasons as head coach.
It's quite the accomplishment. A list of teams that has gone to five straight finals is incredibly short. So, yeah, Golden State, they're pretty good. They are not a rando team.
No, they're not. All right, Jarrett, let's start the show.
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
The Splash is brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 8887-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger.
All right, as I said, we are live in Tempe, Arizona Cardinals headquarters, day two of OTAs. We've got some guests to talk about. I'm guessing we have some big-name absences to talk about as well.
Yeah, we had them yesterday, certainly. Mm-hmm. David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson was the name that everybody focused on, Terrell Suggs. Seems like voluntary OTAs are becoming more and more voluntary around the NFL.
Yeah, I think there's a trend here, and I heard this from Wolf this morning, and I think he was right on the money. I think there is a concerted effort from the NFLPA to remind teams that this is voluntary. Not wink, wink voluntary. Not we're looking at you funny voluntary if you're not here voluntary. But voluntary. So I think what they're doing is they're encouraging high-profile vets to not come anywhere near this stuff. And it makes sense. Now, that doesn't explain Patrick Peterson. I don't think that's what we're dealing with here.
No, but some of the other names, and I heard at the end of the show that they used the Houston example when Doug read that tweet from Aaron Wilson. DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt not practicing at Texans OTA. So,
yeah,
there might be something to this. Because for years and years, as you know, and you already referenced it, it was kind of like that wink-wink voluntary. Yeah, it's voluntary because we have to appease the collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But you really got to be here. And it looks bad if you don't.
Yeah.
And I still think there's that feeling out there.
Oh, without a
even
doubt.
Even if this trend is real and growing, I still think there's that feeling out there from a lot of fans.
Football coaches are trained to have players who are subservient. Tell me when to be their coach. I'll be there. How high, coach? You get guys going, no, I'm good. It rocks everything. It upsets everything.
Yeah.
So I think this is a very organized maneuver from the NFLPA to just kind of make a little statement here. So reminding them of players' rights, if you will. All right, it's also a big day in the Valley. Vinny Joe has joined the hardcore Arizona Cardinals sports fan. He's got the Cardinal logo on a debit card. Man, that is so outstanding, dude. I am so proud of you.
I didn't know that was showing up on the air. You want to give out the number?
Mother's
maiden
name.
You want to give out that three number code on the back?
I'd like to tell you. Exactly.
I'll get into that.
No, I think it's a great story.
After we finish the splash, I'll get into that.
I'll
explain.
I think it's awesome, man. You've been trying to unify this market for the longest time, Vinny.
I have, to no avail.
Vinny Joe's census maker, to no avail. All right, item number two, the Diamondbacks, they lose in San Diego last night. Not a lot of offense to be had last night, spoiling a good outing from Luke Weaver. And there you have it. The bigger news with the Diamondbacks would be what Yasmani Tomas did in the minor leagues.
And the rest of the Reno Aces?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they hit 10 home runs. Yasmani Tomas had 4 of those home runs. They had a guy hit for the cycle, Matt Caesar. Kevin Crone, who's been impossible to get out this year, had 2 more home runs. That strange things happen in the PCL, and it happened yesterday. Yasmani Tomas has actually had a pretty good run offensively down in Reno.
Uh-huh.
But he's just languishing there.
Somebody said he looks good. I mean, you're Mr. Minor League Baseball guy. Have you seen some still photos of him recently?
Not a lot of still photos. I mean, on the Reno Twitter account, you'll see some. He looks the same to me.
Okay. Still 4 homers is 4 homers.
His paycheck is still the same size.
All right. The Diamondbacks losing to San Diego. Did you want to say anything about that?
Disappointing. I mean, I'm going to plant the seed, and then we can get back to this. That last game in the Denver series in Colorado against the Rockies, that Sunday game when the Diamondbacks squandered the lead and Archie Bradley melted down. Remember, we always kind of shine a light on those types of losses.
Mm-hmm.
What type of effect does it have on the team moving forward? Well, if you want to use that as the starting point of this 15-game run, the D-backs are 5-10. They haven't played very good baseball.
Mm.
They've squandered opportunities when they do get good starts like they did last night with Weaver. They've had an inconsistent bullpen. They've had an inconsistent offense in that stretch as well. Was that the starting point of something more telling in real time? It was an opportunity for them to bounce back. They haven't bounced back from that.
We're also going to get into a great story in the Washington Post today on what is really ailing Major League Baseball from an aesthetic, from a spectator sport experience standpoint. The title of the piece was How Velocity is Strangling Major League Baseball. Some fascinating data we're going to bring to you a little bit later on as it pertains to that. All right, big day for the Phoenix Suns today. As we mentioned earlier, Monty Williams press conference. We're going to carry it live. It's going to happen in 20 minutes. It's the beginning of a new era in Phoenix. Hopefully this one will stick.
I think this is more than just symbolic, too. And I think you talked about that. We've talked about it a lot on this show. This one feels different. The process of finding a coach felt different, felt more buttoned up, felt more focused. The fact that they landed an experienced head coach in Monty Williams, who was coveted by other teams, all of that felt different. Hopefully that different feeling bleeds over press conference and beyond now for the Suns and how they handle their business this offseason.
I don't know if
there's
some
ridiculous Suns rumors out there, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, Chris Paul.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, no.
They need a point guard. It doesn't need to be that point guard.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. We'll get into all of that. Big night last night for the Golden State Warriors. They ended up sweeping the Portland Trail Blazers out of the Western Conference Finals, even though Kevin Durant did not play a minute in that series. A lot of powerful synergy on the court. Kind of a real powerful reminder of what that team is at its kind of beating heart, if you will.
Yeah, they had to go to overtime, but they overcame a 17-point lead for the third time in this series. I know ESPN Stats and Info put it out that in the totality of this series, the Warriors trailed for more time than they actually led the Blazers, and they swept the series. There was so many statistical anomalies. I don't know if you saw Richard Jefferson's Twitter account. Three identical tweets, but sent on different nights, that said, the Blazers are up 17 right now, and I'd put my I feel the chances of them winning are at 50-50. Three straight games, he tweeted that.
That's good.
The Warriors are an amazing bunch, and Draymond Green was ridiculous. Steph Curry was ridiculous. They got contributions from others. I mean, Kevon Looney last night had a double-double.
He was good.
They started Alphonso McKinney. He scored in double figures. Didn't get a big contribution from Klay Thompson. It's just a special basketball team. That's the only way to put it.
Again, though, man, it's that synergy between those three core guys, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. They've rediscovered something here without Kevin Durant, and they're vibing on it, and it shows, and Draymond Green has been monstrously good. This is good. We're going to talk about this because I think this is really good for the NBA, kind of resetting and refocusing on what that team means in the evolution of basketball.
And it's driving Kevin Durant crazy, apparently, judging from his reactions on social media.
There's a whole story out there. Kevin Durant is online.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Got to heal quicker so you can get back on the court and spend less time on social media. And the other big NBA story that people are still talking about, I am fascinated by what's going on in Los Angeles with the Lakers. Yesterday's proceedings, Magic Johnson, on the same day they introduced their head coach, in the morning he gets a head start on the pettiness and books a long interview on First Take where he basically, he did say it, Rob Pelinka stabbing him in the back. I thought Rob Pelinka handled a difficult situation as well as he could. Everybody's at fault. And for the people that are looking at Rob Pelinka as, you're done, Magic Johnson said these things, Magic Johnson was an absolute joke as a front office member. Do we absolve him from that because he was a great player? He is huge part of the dysfunction.
Rob Pelinka was telling people, Magic's never around, and rolling his eyes. Well, that's what you do when a team president is never around. When you need to schedule meetings with the guy, when you need 5 minutes of his time, when you need him to help sort out key issues, and he's never around. Yeah, of course people underneath you get to talk. Yeah, I agree. Not the greatest look for Magic. He's trying to blame it all on the feet of the Lakers. This is not the greatest look for Magic. I agree. Their dysfunction is just spectacular.
It was a day of pettiness. Even one of the questions that was asked during the press conference to Rob Pelinka from Dave McMenamin of ESPN, who does a great job covering the Lakers. Did you hear the disrespect dripping off the question? As Frank Vogel was sitting there listening to the question?
I did. Why is it exactly that you let Monty Williams and Ty Lue go? Because they were guys you wanted more.
And you ended up with your third choice.
It was a 27-second question. It was basically just a beatdown to the guy. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
You guys did speak to some other coaching candidates before you settled on Frank. And obviously Monty Williams and Ty Lue seem to be higher choices. What went wrong in that coaching search? And, you know, all due respect to Frank, there were other people you intended to hire before him.
That's
all
unreal.
All due respect to Frank.
That's just,
after I disrespected him for 20 seconds.
What went like, wrong?
No offense, right. But you are ugly.
All right.
No offense.
All right.
All right, there is...
That's the greatest equalizing line in the history of the language. Yeah. With all due respect.
There is your splash today, brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. It is Tuesday, so we got some goodies to give away.
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
Caller number, please.
Caller number three, Vinny.
All right, caller three right now on this Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. If you are caller three at 602-260-9870, you will score two tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band in concert September 13th at Ak Chin Pavilion. Again, looking for caller number three. Not number four, not number two, number three.
No, right.
Right now, happy dialing and good luck on this Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union.
I caught Gambo in real time, by the way, doing gambos by himself.
Yeah.
I think it was with Tim Ring. Hey, you remember that team? And he started just rattling off guys from the team. It was just, it was.
That's where the whole thing was born from.
It was a virtuoso performance. Oh. It was great.
We didn't just make that up.
No. No.
Should I tell my debit card story?
Yeah, I love this because it's just Vinny Joe Dorcas. It's so great. No, I'm kidding.
Apparently, I use my debit card a lot because I have to replace it every 7 or 8 months. The chip technology of the debit card, which is, I know, for consumer protection, it's bad technology. You agree with me?
Very much so.
I can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it stopped. My card stopped working over the weekend. So and I actually discovered it on Sunday. Couldn't do anything about it. So yesterday I got to go take care of it.
So you were trapped in that really weird zone where you have money, you just have no access to money.
Yeah.
And it's on a weekend.
Uh-huh.
And right, that can be problematic, especially when you have kids. Dad, I'm hungry.
Sorry.
Sorry, Dad's tapped out.
That's how I discovered it. I was having problems with the car, but I could eventually get it to work. And I was taking my son to get a haircut, and I couldn't. I said, well, I don't think the card's going to work, and I can't actually go somewhere, have services rendered, and say, well, the thing is this.
Yeah.
I can't pay you. It's not like putting back groceries.
Right.
They can't put the hair back on.
That's right.
So I tried I said, maybe it'll work at the ATM. It wouldn't work. So anyway, I got to go taken care of yesterday. And one good thing about where I choose to bank is they can get you a new card right away as you wait. 10 minutes, okay? So they print out the new card. The bad news is it's a new number. And any of your online accounts, you got to update those. And that's a real pain in the butt for anybody that's had to do it. But the bad thing about where I choose to bank is they have very limited designs on the debit card. So I had three choices, two of which were awful.
Yeah.
And I had one of them, and I didn't want the same one.
The Grand Canyon, a woodpecker,
no.
And the Cardinals logo.
The first two, I would have taken the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
I just didn't like the design. So the third choice was the Cardinals logo. That's what I got.
Vinny Jones has himself a Cardinal logo debit card.
I'll only have it for 7 or 8 months because the chip will go bad eventually, and I'll have to get a new one.
Now, when you pull that bad boy out, people are going to go, atta boy.
They used to have Larry Fitzgerald on them.
It's not a bad looking debit card.
As long as it works.
As long as it works.
I guess
all that matters.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. No,
all right, we are day two of Cardinals OTAs today, voluntary OTAs. A lot of reaction yesterday. We sat down with Christian Kirk yesterday, as well as Brooks Reed. And we got a lot of reaction to those two interviews, especially the Christian Kirk interview. And I heard you reference it in your conversation with Doug and Wolf this morning. He just strikes you as a guy that gets it.
Yeah,
and the way he talked about a very difficult team season and him being one of the bright spots was very illuminating on how he handled that situation.
Just sitting here with just the energy he had, he looks like he's a kid who's about to bust out. You know what I mean? Last year he was a productive rookie that immediately stamped himself as a successful draft pick. I saw a kid yesterday who's just hungry and he's kind of got some stuff figured out. And he's excited about Kyler Murray, and I think he's ready to elevate. And that's good. Didn't you get the same feeling from him? And look, and I know it's easy to get fooled by guys this time of year, but Christian Kirk is a rookie, did some stuff that really separated himself.
Well, and last year in this process, we got to talk to Christian Kirk a couple times, I think once in OTAs, once in training camp, and He was not very bold about projecting himself. He was more about learning. And he came out, and he did excel at a high level in the NFL. It just sounded like a different attitude.
Yeah.
You mentioned he is excited about Kyler Murray, and he's got reason to be. Former teammate of Kyler Murray. Here's Christian Kirk talking about his new quarterback.
I mean, he's just electric.
Is he?
We all watched him. The stuff he does is, you know, it's unique. And, you know, that's the only way to explain it. Just what he's able to do with his feet. But I think that the thing that people won't get to see until the season starts is just the way the ball comes off his hands. I mean, he throws a spiral every time. It's smooth. It's quick. And, you know, he knows where to put the ball. And he just has a certain swagger about himself, a certain confidence that, you know, you can already see all the guys feeding off of. And so it just kind of brings a new energy to the offense. And he's going to be exciting to watch.
What did you make of that? I don't think people will see it until the season starts. Was that a... we're not going to show anything in the preseason kind of thing?
Really?
Or just the fact that OTAs are...
a little of both, maybe.
Yeah.
But it does kind of seem to me that Cliff Kingsbury is really going out of his way to say nothing. Either that, or we're going to have to play the Barry White music a lot. Because he's got a deep voice, but he doesn't say a whole lot of interesting stuff. At least not yet.
I heard Burns and Gambo were... talking about how he answers a lot of questions with "We'll see."
Okay, yeah.
Which was my parents. That was one of their. That was one of their old standbys when I asked them a question. Normally asking for something or if I could do something.
Right.
They didn't want to say no initially, so they would just give me the "We'll see," examine it, and then say no later.
Okay.
So in your family, Vince, it was either "We'll see" or "Not today."
Yeah.
Not today.
Depending on who you asked.
That's right. That's
exactly. Our winner for Ticket Window Tuesday was Lori Sturgis. Congratulations, Lori. She was caller number 3. She's got a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band coming up at Auction Pavilion on this Ticket Window Tuesday. You've got another chance coming up to win with us at 12:15. Coming up next, we will take you down to... Talking Stick Resort Arena, where the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, Monty Williams, will be introduced. It's also streaming on suns.com, but we'll have it for you live on the radio here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Dick Liberato, we're coming to you live from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. We'll be joined later on by Jordan Hicks and DJ Humphreys of the Cardinals as we continue our exclusive coverage of OTAs, but it's a big day for the Phoenix Suns, as well as finally we get the introduction to their new head coach, Monty Williams. James Jones, the general manager, will be there as well. We will carry that press conference live in a couple of moments for you. If you want to watch it, it's streaming on suns.com. We'll handle the audio for you. Monty Williams will join us for his first Phoenix radio interview right after the press conference coming up. About 10:45 is what we're hoping right now. Well, we'll see how it goes. It's an exciting day for the Phoenix Suns. And we were just kind of, we've been this offseason kind of holding them up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And you can go back to the process of picking Monty Williams as the coach.
Right.
He was a guy with options. And a lot of people initially said, well, why would Monty Williams pick the Phoenix Suns over the Los Angeles Lakers? I think the Lakers have proven why. Not only do the Suns have something that they don't have, they don't nearly have the level of dysfunction that the Lakers do.
And, yeah, and that's enjoy it while it lasts. It's not going to be that way forever. No, it won't. Okay, the Lakers will get their stuff together.
Yeah, but I also think the Phoenix Suns will get their stuff together,
well,
and this could be the beginning of that.
Right. Some of the things that have been holding back the Suns are not things holding back the Lakers. They'll figure this out, but enjoy it for now. I totally agree with that, and the fact that Monty Williams was used in the press conference to mock the dysfunction in the organization yesterday. That's a win. That's a win for the Suns. It's a small win that you beat the Lakers to a better head coach. And meanwhile, the Lakers have got a guy in Frank Vogel who had to say with a straight face he's perfectly fine with Jason Kidd being hired as his lead assistant.
I believe him.
Do you really?
Why else would he have taken the job if he wasn't okay
no
with
options.
It? Maybe not this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still an open job. I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies haven't hired a head coach yet.
Uh-huh. No, right. No, I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're rolling the dice. And Frank Vogel's done this before. He's coached in bad situations before and done it well. I just think that that's a difficult situation to put any kind of head coach in. Because you know what? Even if Frank Vogel's a big boy and can handle it, You don't think the players wonder about that? You don't think if Jay Kidd walks into the Lakers locker room, the players probably wondering, all right, does he got more power than Frank? It's just, it's not the greatest situation. No. So enjoy it. Enjoy it while you got it, because Monty Williams gives the Suns a chance at something that they've not had in a long time, and that is real stability, Vinny.
Yes, it does. It does feel like this is the beginning of that. You know, the last year has been unfortunate, because I know if we went back to May 21st of 2018 and we monitored what we were talking about with the Phoenix Suns, obviously it was post draft lottery, so we knew the Suns had the number one pick. They had their coach in place. We were having the Doncic-Ayton debate at this point last year, and optimism was not at an all-time high, obviously, but certainly a recent high. So that didn't quite work out. It was a mulligan year. I know people might think I'm being dismissive by calling it that, but there's really no other way to look at it positively. It was a bad year. It didn't work out. And they've made the decision, like the Cardinals did, to start over. I'm really curious to hear what kind of energy Monty Williams has about the situation, what he has to say about his young players and trying to move this thing forward.
Oh, yeah. And again, I think this is going to really, it's probably going to help probably 80% of the roster. There are probably guys on that Suns team, and I think it would start with Devin Booker, that have probably been yearning for some real stability above them for the longest time, and they haven't had it. And now I think they've got a chance, because they realize Monty Williams has got a five-year commitment. These guys, you know, they pay attention. They know what has been said to him in terms of the owner backing off. They expect this to be a little bit different, and I think it's going to excite and galvanize the room.
Now, when you look at what they need to do this offseason, and I mentioned a couple of the crazy rumors that are out there, the Chris Paul trade rumors. I mean, I've made the statement before, and I do believe this. If you really want to expedite this, you really want to expedite this process, you have to be bold. But you can't do something that's too bold. You see what I'm saying? Like, trading young prospects or young pieces to your core for a point guard who's making a mint in Chris Paul.
Okay, yeah.
It improves your team, but it also probably hamstrings you moving forward.
I agree. I'm not sure Chris Paul is the right fit for right now, and I think his best days have been. I'd probably want Mike Conley more than Chris Paul, and I'd want Kyrie Irving more than both. I assume some of the crazy rumors, are you talking about the proposed trade that would bring Anthony Davis here?
Yeah, there's those. I mean, there's some people DeAndre Ayton or Devin Booker could be going to New Orleans. I mean, that would...
I couldn't believe...
That would be too bold / foolish.
Well, I forgot where I read it, but I saw what the Suns were giving up to get Anthony Davis. That's not enough to get Anthony Davis.
No.
T.J. Warren, Josh Jackson, the number six pick.
Tyler Johnson.
That stuff is not going to get you Anthony Davis. So you're right. That is stupid.
All right, let's go to the podium. Here's the Monty Williams introductory press conference.
Used to being next to someone so big. good morning. Thank you all for being here. It's a great day to be a Suns fan and a member of the Suns family. As we welcome Monty Williams as the next coach of the Phoenix Suns, Monty is a man of integrity. A very good coach, a very good man. His experience in all facets of basketball as a coach, player development, on the offensive side of the ball, defense side of the ball, in the front office, gives him a unique perspective that I think is well suited for our franchise and for our players. He's well respected amongst his peers, amongst the players, and we know as we move forward that mix of character, those traits will guide us well. So with that, I want to thank Monty, his wife Lisa, and their family for accepting us as a family and becoming a part of the Phoenix Suns organization. And with that, I'll turn it over to our next head coach, Monty Williams.
Thank you, James. I want to thank God for this opportunity. He's blessed me more than I deserve, and I'm mindful that a lot of people could be in this position. And want to thank Mr. Sarver for his hiring of me and bringing my family here to Phoenix, and James for trusting me and partnering with me. Our conversations the last few weeks have not only excited me, but given me something that I don't feel like I've had in a long time. It's just being able to have something that he and I not only can have here, but he and I will be friends for a long, long time going forward, just based on who we are and our value system and how much we want to not only bring success here to this city, but have an impact on all of the young men that we get to work with. And I'll miss a ton of people as far as thank yous go. Obviously, want to thank you guys for coming out. Mikhail for coming out today to support us and this city and all of the people and the well wishes. So many people have gotten in touch with me in the NBA and in this city in particular, just making my family feel really welcome. And so I am more than excited and committed to getting this thing going in the right direction, which it already was before I came. And that was a huge reason for me committing to this team. And so I'm just thankful for Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford giving me a chance to coach. That's where it started for me. And not only coaching, but they gave me a chance to work in management, which gave me a different perspective, as James talked about. I think I have a bit more empathy for other people now because I think a little bit differently. The Philadelphia 76ers, Brett Brown, Josh Harris, all of the people there that gave me a chance this past year to dive right into coaching and basically be a head coach again because of the way Brett delegates and manages. So, and my family, my new wife, Lisa, and my kids, who are so excited to get down here to Phoenix, just want to thank them for dealing with me and my crazy schedule and all of the stuff that goes with our jobs. So just I'll turn it over to questions and all that stuff, but I'm just really thankful for this opportunity.
Technical difficulties.
Thank you. Well, one, they hired me. And I mean that respectfully. Like, these jobs are hard to come by. There's only 30. And when someone commits to you to be a head coach, that's a huge thing. And so, one, they hired me. And two, it was the people that I was going to work with. Mr. Sarver and James and Jeff, Trevor, Allie Mitchell, so many amazing people that I've gotten to know the past 2-3 weeks, and the players. I mean, when you look at our talent, to have a Devin Booker, and a DeAndre, and Mikhail, and on and on and on, the possibilities in free agency and draft, the draft, was more than appealing to me. But it's an NBA job, and I hope I've never lost sight of the fact that I'm in the NBA. As a kid, that's all I wanted, was to be in the league. And I think this is, I don't know, 25, 26 years for me in the NBA, and I just don't take that for granted. As I said, these jobs are hard to come by. But to be with James and with Mr. Sarver and to be in a city like Phoenix, I've always admired the city from afar. We always stayed up in that Camelback area, and it was like, man, this is pretty nice. So all of those things really helped me make a decision to commit to this, but the main one was they hired me.
Monty Bratt, Susmat, Sports 360 AZ.
Hey,
welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
If you were to go a little deeper on the roster that you are going to be coaching,
sure,
and what you see specifically to why this team has not been able to get over the hump, and how close do you believe that they are to getting over the hump?
the whys. One, they're young. Two, the West is really difficult. That's no excuse for 19 wins, but the guys are talented on this team. And when I watch film, I see in Devin, I see a guy who could be a household name here soon. He reminds me so much of a Brandon Roy, who I coached in Portland. And at the time, Brandon, Dwayne Wade, and Kobe Bryant, when we were in Portland, they were running the league. And I feel like Devin has a chance to be like that or eclipse that. I feel like he has the game that can not only put up points in the regular season, but he has a game that's fit for the playoffs. And anytime you can give the ball to a player and get a bucket, that's a luxury. And I feel like Devin has that ability. And DeAndre, the skill set that he has and the ability that he has at that age is exciting. And so I'll have to dive into the film a ton more to give you a better answer. And I'm doing that as we speak. Young teams typically get out to big leads. And then late third quarter, early fourth quarter, you'll see a break where a veteran team or a more experienced team can overcome a young team. And I think it just takes time to understand how to play for 48 minutes plus. And I think that's something that our guys are going to embrace.
Coach Jude LaCobb of Fox 10 Sports, congratulations.
Thank you.
Give us an impression of the type of system you are going to implement offensively, defensively. Is this going to be an extension of San Antonio, Greg Popovich, or are you, I mean, no, I'm saying that based on what you've learned and you alluded to RC and to Coach, or, you know, give us some impressions there.
Sure. The way that I'd like to play will be based on our team. We don't know right now what the team is going to look like. But we will play through Devin and DeAndre. Those guys have the ability to draw double teams and make other players better. Obviously, you want to play fast, but for me, playing fast does not mean rushing the ball down the floor. There's nothing proven that says rushing the ball down the floor leads to wins. A couple years ago, Brooklyn was leading the league in pace, but they didn't have a great record because they were young. And now I would say that's changed a little bit. For me, pace is playing quickly with the ball and under control. So you either shoot it, drive it, or move it. But holding the ball, if you watch the playoffs, anytime a guy holds the ball, you allow the defense to get into a load position, and it's easier to guard. One of the things I did learn in San Antonio was they had a wear-down effect. The ball movement, player movement, would wear teams out. And then in the fourth quarter, they would take that Spurs push and they'd be up by 10 to 15 and the game would be over. And you can see that with Golden State. The way they beat Portland, the ball movement, player movement, it just wears you out. And so we want to adopt some of those things. And at the same time, I don't want to take away from the creativity that Devin has. Yeah, he's a special player and I don't want to get in the way of that. Defensively, we have a lot to improve on. We got a transition will be where our defensive world starts, and we have to be able to take away the three ball. We're no different than any other program. Everybody wants to take away the three ball, and you have to be able to rebound once you do that. And so it takes time to put that kind of defensive system in. Hopefully, with our staff that we're trying to put together, we'll be able to do that, but it's going to take time.
Coach Joe Pequeno, Arizona Family Sports, congratulations on being here.
Thank you.
Coach, I think everyone in this room wants to see the Phoenix Suns get back to the playoffs.
Sure.
It's been a long, suffering time for fans here in the Valley. That being said, why do you think you'll be successful when we've seen so many coaches in the past years fail? What will you do that ultimately will get this team back on track, make it a force in the NBA, and make it one of the most respected franchises in the NBA? Because frankly, this franchise has lost its luster on the national stage.
Well, it'll be a combination of things. Continuity, having a staff here for a while and putting in a system that the players can rely upon. But ultimately, it'll come down to James, myself, and the players pushing this thing forward. The players are going to have to embrace a level of work and commitment that it takes to be a champion. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win a championship. This team, this organization, has won the fifth most games in NBA history. That's a huge thing. And you enter the 52nd year. Maybe we've lost luster, but the tradition is still there. And if you look at the tradition and the good teams that Phoenix had, they embraced those things. We have to build championship habits. The culture has to take a bit of a leap this summer. We can't wait until October to take a leap in culture. And it's going to require our guys to embrace the little things. It'll be a war of attrition this summer. You know, showing up on time, working hard, defending, sharing the ball, and having a high care factor are things that I believe allow you to build a culture. And if you have a culture, then you can deal with the on-court stuff. And so it's not going to be easy, and there's no one formula for it. Different teams have different formulas, but this is what I believe, and James and I are going to continue to build the culture the way that we see fit, and I think our guys will embrace that.
Yes, he wants me to reintroduce myself. Dwayne Rankin, Arizona Republic. You opened up thanking Robert Sarver. That was one of the things that you did. Obviously, you two talked. And what in those conversations made you feel more comfortable about taking the job, whether it was things that he felt like he didn't do in the past or maybe made mistakes on in the past or how he would move forward that made you say, okay, I'm more comfortable taking this job?
Number one, in my conversations with Mr. Sarver, I saw someone who didn't duck the tough questions. We both had tough questions for each other. And in this day and age where people throw each other under the bus, make excuses, blame, I didn't see that. I saw a man who really wants to bring success to this city. And I mean that with all of my heart, or I wouldn't have come. James and I are a lot alike in that we just want to do the right things. And I saw that with Mr. Sarver. For him to take ownership of his past was huge for me because I had to do the same thing. He had tough questions for me. And if you look at my past, I've done some things, said some things in the media that I wish I could have taken back. And so that's what I saw. I saw a man who's passionate, a man who cares about the city. And in our conversations, I just felt that. I felt like he really wants to bring something to the city that's pretty cool, and I wanted to be a part of that.
Hey, Monty, Gina Mizell from The Athletic here. Just how would you describe your managerial style, whether it's working with the players, whether it's delegating with your staff, and maybe how has that changed or what have you learned about that since the last time you were a head coach in New Orleans?
When I first started coaching in New Orleans, I thought I had the answers. I was a lot younger, probably more brash, more stubborn. Now I'm just starting to figure out the questions, if that makes sense. And I'm probably in a place in my life where I'm more apt to listen and delegate more. My coaching style is probably based on servanthood. That's my heart, is to serve the organization, to serve the players, to put the people that I work with in a position to be successful. I want guys to be excited to come to work. I want the players to be excited about what we're doing. That doesn't mean we're not going to work hard, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to tell them the truth. But I think as I've evolved as a coach, I understand the difference between telling someone the truth and embarrassing them. And that was one of my flaws in New Orleans. My truth-telling at times could embarrass players. And that was something that I had to deal with. And I spent a lot of time talking to former players. And they would always say, Coach, I love playing for you, but. And the but was something that I had to work on. And I shamefully admit to you that I wasn't happy with that. And so I've had 4 years and a lot of experiences, and I've talked to a lot of people, and hopefully I've improved in that area.
Monty and Kellen Olson with Arizona Sports, welcome. Some might look at the situation, 19 wins, a very young roster starting from the bottom, but how excited are you to start from the bottom with this team and potentially grow something from the start?
Yeah, again, it's we keep using the word excited, exciting, excited, but that's what it is. There's so much room to grow, from the players to James to Mr. Sarver to a new practice site, this city. I feel like this city has always been a gem in the NBA. People love living here in the offseason. Players train here, but we want to make it more than that. And, you know, the record would reflect the bottom, but I don't believe that we're at the bottom. I think we have a young team that's learning how to win, and they will. And I have to do my job. I have to enhance the strengths, but be honest about our weaknesses and get the players to consider a new way of doing some things, and at the same time not get in the way of their creativity and the things they do well. So it is it's a sweet spot for me as far as potential. I think I'm here at the right time and I'm with the right people.
Hi, Monty. Kevin Zimmerman, also from Arizona Sports. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering if you've spoken to guys on the roster like Devin and DeAndre and kind of what your message as far as setting the culture at this really early point has gone. I'm sure it's not extensive at this point.
No, we're going to break bread and talk. We've texted. I've talked to Mikhail. I've talked to Kelly. But this generation's so different. You know, they insta-tweet and face fan. They got all these things that they do that they'd much rather do that than talk on the phone. But we're going to spend time together. That's a given. At the same time, I know that the summers are important. But for us to get where we want to go, we got to spend a lot of time connecting. And that's going to take place this summer. James and I have already started planning touching guys this summer, you know, flying around the country and maybe even the Bahamas to make sure that we, our guys know that we care about them, but we also want to lay a foundation for where we want to take this place.
Coach Paul Richardson went to Sportscape. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In New Orleans, you coached a veteran team, and then you coached a rebuild team.
Yeah.
Got them both to the playoffs. Mentally, how does that help you coming into this situation?
It's one of the things that appealed to me as it relates to this job. When I first got there, we had Chris Paul and David West and Emeka, Willie Green, Jared Jack. We had vets, Trevor Ariza, and I wouldn't say it was easier, but it taught me a different way to coach. Chris is a savant, and so I didn't have to call as many plays. We were always on the same page. Our defense was a top five defense that year. And then we broke the team down, and we started at ground zero and built it back to where it was and went to the playoffs, and I really enjoyed that. But it was a different way to coach. When we got the younger team, I was way more hands-on, even to the point of practicing with the guys at times, because I just felt like I had to show them how to play or how to do certain things. So it really taught me how to adjust to the roster. And that's why I said our style of play will be based on who we have. I think it would be irresponsible of me to force a style on the team that doesn't fit. And so as soon as we know what team we're going to have, James and I will sit down and talk about that, because I think it's going to be a collaborative effort, and that I really enjoy that part too, because James has a big-time basketball IQ, and he's a champion, been in a number of wars, and I want to be able to rely on that experience.
Hey, Coach, Mark McLuhan, through TV, CBS 5, welcome to town.
Thank you.
You mentioned the team would run through Devin and DeAndre and the Brandon Roy comp for Devin. What are your impressions of DeAndre rookie year?
I knew you were going to ask that. And I don't you know, comparing Devin to Brandon, I want to be careful with that because I want Devin to be Devin because he's probably going to want me to be Popovich and I can't be Popovich. But when I look at Devin, I see a lot of Brandon. When I look at DeAndre, he has a number of attributes that, you know, kind of remind me of David Robinson a little bit, just different strong hand. David was lefty, but just long, lean, muscular, quick twitch, can play outside a little bit, can play around the basket. Another comp, I mean, he's not like Anthony, but they both have that ranginess about him, kind of gangly and yet still strong. And you can just see once their bodies fill out, they're going to be a problem for a lot of people. And so I want to be careful of the comparisons because I don't want to put any one of our guys in a box. You know, I could easily just talk about Mikhail, you know, being like Michael Cooper, but he wouldn't know who I was talking about. And so I want to be careful of comparing our players to other people.
Coach Brendan Clean, SB Nation, welcome to Phoenix.
Thank you.
You've been in a variety of roles since you were last a head coach.
Yeah.
What made you feel ready after kind of jumping around to dive back into the head coaching role?
Yeah. I always wanted to get back into this role, but I never felt like I was entitled to be a head coach. You know, just because I got fired in New Orleans doesn't necessarily mean I'm owed the right to be a head coach. So I wanted to. Because of my family situation, I didn't know if I could. The things that allowed me to think that way, one was my kids. I remember when I started to, when I was away from the coaching part of my life, I just was at peace with the fact that I might not be able to do it again just based on my family situation. And my kids, especially my daughters, weren't happy with that. And it really had an impact on me. My oldest daughter kind of read me the riot act one day about getting back into coaching. And it had a huge impact on me. And then I had a conversation with R.C. Buford one day. We were just at the office and we were talking about it. And R.C. looked me in the eyes and he said, "Your kids won't be happy if you don't get back into coaching." And so those two episodes really pushed me back into the mode of doing what I know I do well and doing what I feel like my calling is. And then there's just when people hire you and feel confident about who you are and what you do, it just makes it even better.
Coach Doug Franz from Doug and Wolf on Arizona Sports. Josh Jackson, on the court and off the court, is he part of the solution or part of the problem? How do you plan to reach him and unlock everything he has?
Well, one, I don't want to ever publicly talk about someone's situations off the floor. I don't think that's fair. I think the NBA does that too much, and I don't want to do that. Josh is a talented young man. When I was in management, I followed him in college a little bit, and so I'm familiar with him. A lot of these young guys need to know that they're okay, but they need to improve. All of us could make better decisions off the floor, and I'm at the head of that line. I just didn't get caught, and that's a reality. And so I'm not going to comment on his off-the-court stuff. I want to be a part of the solution if I can, and I think that's where I've made an impact on young men, is to be able to be transparent about my past and letting them know it's not the end. And at the same time, as Pop would say, you have to be a part of your own rescue. And so I think we all deal with that, not just Josh. And so I'm hopeful to speak with him, and we've texted, but I really want to look him in the eyes and just meet him and learn more about him and go from there.
That is our coverage of the Monty Williams introductory press conference. It's still ongoing, and you can catch it at Suns.com. When it's over, we will be joined by the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, Monty Williams, here on Bickley and Murata, as we come to you live today from the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center in Tempe, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.